China officially dropped its one-child policy on the 1st of January this year. While some people forecast this could cause a population boom, that doesn't seem to really be the case. Dr. Jane Golley is an Associate Director at the Centre of Australia and the World at the ANU. I asked her why they have eliminated this policy, which effectively worked.
Fertility rates have come down to well below replacement level, and the main reason put forward for relaxing the policy is to do with the changing population structure and the ageing population in particular. So they're now facing a situation of becoming old before becoming rich, and they're the first country to do that. Usually it's the wealthy countries where fertility rates slow and then ageing follows from that.
Does the premise for the relaxation of the policy that there is an ageing population in China really bear out?
It doesn't really seem like a very good way to do that to me. For one, you might get a very small uptake, but on top of that, what you do is create a rising youth population, and we talk about youth dependency and old age dependency. Neither of those parts of the demographic structure are productive. They cost money. And so really they bite into economic development in a way. And also they won't hit the workforce for another 20 years or so. So if you've got an ageing problem that's really starting up now, there are better ways to tackle that. I think improving the productivity of workers, boosting education and making sure that the workers that come on board soon are able to produce more output seems a much more sensible way to address an ageing problem than boosting fertility at the bottom end, which could easily create, if it was effective, a new round of population problems for China and, for that matter, the rest of the world as well.
Going back to the one-child policy in the first place, can you talk about what the costs and the benefits of that policy have been to China and, I guess, to the world as a whole?
Thinking about the benefits first, and of course the way the party sees it, the Communist Party, it's been a great success, bringing population or fertility rates down, as I just said, boosts per capita income growth. It's basically a story of diminishing marginal productivity of worker. Fewer workers actually raise output per worker. They would see it as a great success and a contributor to those growth rates over the last 30 years. They claim that the policy averted 400 million births, but really that number's exaggerated. More careful analysis suggests that the policy still averted 250 million births, and the other 150 million have come about from other socioeconomic changes. Fertility rates fall with economic development, with greater female participation and equality in the workplace, and a whole range of other factors.
Just picking up on the gender issue there, there's been a lot of gender preference in China. Will this new policy change the way that those demographics are looking?
The son preference has existed for thousands of years in China, like it has in most other countries in the world, but it is strong in China. So as soon as the one-child policy was introduced, there was uproar, particularly in rural China, where people are more likely to have needed a son to take over the farm. So the policy was relaxed early on, and they've been allowed to have a second child since the early 1980s. So that makes you wonder what this latest policy announcement will do there, if anything. Rural Chinese are very constrained by their finances, and they haven't necessarily got the ability to, or can't necessarily afford to have more children. Those who have been able to get their son in the first place might choose not to have a second one for that reason, and then a lot of them might already have had that second one and got two children, which they would see as being enough.
So there's not a great argument for this change in policy opening the floodgates for a massive boost in population in China at this time?
No, look, it seems unlikely. A couple of years ago, they introduced a policy that allowed any couple in which both of them were only children, they've been allowed to have a second child for some time now. In 2013, they extended that to if either of them were only children, then they could have a second child. And so really, this policy announcement's likely to have the biggest impact in urban China, and even still then, quite a number of them, given where we're at in history, most of the current generation of fertile women were only children themselves. And so in a sense, this isn't a big deal, the announcement, because it's been affecting them, the policy changes, for the last couple of years at least.
What other socioeconomic and cultural factors come into play here? Is it almost too late for this to make a massive difference because people are so used to having a single child family and investing in that one child to the level of success that they achieve in a lifetime?
Yeah, that's right. I think the demographers are looking at questions of fertility intention and basically showing that there hasn't really been much of a change, you know, with the policy relaxation in recent years in terms of boosting fertility intentions up. I think there has been a cultural shift to the point where a lot of Chinese, not all of them, but a lot of Chinese families think that one is enough. Their lives are incredibly busy for rural people, and there's still some 600 million of those. The financial constraints are substantial, and there's definitely evidence that they've favoured what they call quality over quantity, putting all of their resources into the one child.
Dr. Jane Golley, Associate Director at the Centre of Australia and the World at the ANU.